This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Syngenta, delivering better food for a better world through outstanding crop solutions.
What a week, and here we are at the end of it. We've got an equity market that went from bull to bear and back to bull in record time, and we've got a cattle market that still looks busted to me. And hoarding wheat and flour has actually become a thing? And is the U.S. sending troops to the border? No, not that border. The one to the north.
Live from hastily cobbled home studios via Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday free-for-all. Panelists Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, and we welcome back Pam Johnson.
Yes.
Right after the news, a quick update from Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Pork. And hey, I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right. I didn't want you to bust anything there. It felt like you were winding up for something.
Yeah, I'm ready to bust a move. I can tell you that.
I love it. Love it. You know, I didn't even mention it yesterday, and it's because it is heartbreaking. But yesterday was opening day for MLB, and it just it's not right. So what I did last night was I watched the last game of the 2016 season.
Yeah.
To make me feel better about not having an opening day for the 2020 season. And I don't know if John Harith is listening or not, but that's the year the Cubs won it all.
Uh-huh.
Cubs won that last game that year.
The singular year.
What? No, there's other years. There's other years, but none of them that we can even, like, relate to.
No, but here we go. It's like we're not even here, America.
I enjoyed watching the Game 6 of the 2011 World Series yesterday.
Is that the one that you prefer? I got it. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Well, we'll see. All right. Hey, what a week. And it's so good that we've got Pam Johnson back. Get her take on what is happening here in the United States, around the world, not just in the world of agriculture, but just in general. Jim Wiesmeyer's with us. Haney is going to be on. We've got the regular team is up and ready to go, and we've got a lot of ground that needs to be covered today, buddy. So let's go ahead and jump into the news. What do you got?
Well, Chip, the number of coronavirus infections inside the United States has surpassed that of China's.
Right.
The tally now stands near 86,000 cases. However, the U.S. death toll is well below that of Italy's at 1,300 fatalities. Spain reported its deadliest day yesterday with 769 citizens perishing from the disease.
Right.
Now, Chip, Deborah Birx, the immunologist advising Vice President Mike Pence, says the worst-case projections for the spread of the virus are not supported by the outbreaks in China, South Korea, and Italy. President Trump is reportedly working on a plan to classify U.S. counties by the level of risk of infection. Trump has said more than once the Farm Belt will likely be the first U.S. region to reopen with new guidelines, buddy.
Yeah, you know, I understand that, but there are some assessments of which areas are doing the best at the social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
Number one on the list, you won't believe what number one on the list is.
Yeah.
It's Washington, D.C.
Wow.
That can't be right.
That's what they're saying. You know who's on the list for some of the worst?
Who's that?
Idaho, Montana, Wyoming.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And I think what they're doing is they're looking at the cell phone and the apps and they're tracking and they're saying, wow, those people are out there moving around a lot. They shouldn't be. Doesn't mean that they've seen anybody.
That's creepy. Well,
but
yeah.
They're out there moving around. and we cannot build a model on the Chinese numbers. We know this, right? Because they're lying to us.
That's the thing.
Right.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is hopeful the House will have approved the $2 trillion rescue aid package, by noon today.
Okay.
Yesterday, Speaker Pelosi told reporters, quote, our members want to come back in order to have the debate, and we expect to have a voice vote on it. But if we don't, we'll be prepared for whatever it is. One way or another, we will be passing the bill. Pelosi has already started looking ahead to a fourth round of coronavirus-related aid, saying she will want infrastructure to be part of the funding in an effort to aid longer-term recovery efforts.
Okay. All right.
In other news,
the vote, if it needs to, I understand, and we'll have to ask Wiesmeyer about this, but I think there is a way that they can do a proxy vote if the grandstanders in the House both sides prevent the voice vote.
Right. Well, after having suspended visa processing at embassies on March 20, the State Department announced it is still continuing to process returning H-2 visas and will now allow consulates to waive in-person H-2 interviews on first-time and returning H-2 applicants that have not apparent ineligibility or potential eligibility. Both USDA Secretary Perdue and House Ag Committee Chairman Colin Peterson welcomed that move. That's big news there on the H-2s.
Absolutely it is. It is a recognition of how desperate some of the areas are becoming, and in making sure that we've got a labor force in place to harvest the produce, and you know, milk cows, hog farms, all of that. This is going to help, I think.
Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell said the U.S. economy may well be in a recession, but noted the central bank is taking unprecedented measures to bolster economic activity. The Fed drilled its benchmark rate to zero, and by today, the Fed will have purchased nearly $1 trillion in treasuries and mortgage securities over the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The Environmental Protection Agency said it is considering delaying the deadline for refineries to comply with biofuel regulations past March 31. Meanwhile, rumors circulate that OPEC could reshuffle its membership in an effort to better manage world oil supplies. Chip, some analysts are predicting oil prices could fall to single digits.
Single digits.
Amid the ongoing production war.
Can you imagine? I mean, we're just awash in this stuff is what it feels like right now.
Absolutely we are.
You know, and when President Trump said, fill up the reserves right up to the top.
All right. Yeah.
Well, it's like we were talking about yesterday with the ethanol situation. What happens when all the storage is full?
Yeah, then what?
Then what? Holy smokes, it's crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. Yep. Davis, thanks, buddy. We will talk to you again this afternoon. Thanks, man.
I can't wait. Yep, later.
All right, let's bring in Jennifer Scheich. Jennifer is the editor of Farm Journal's Pork. She joins us right now. How are you doing, Jennifer?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Good. How's the family? Everything okay?
Yeah, nobody's killed each other yet. We're surviving.
Good.
So, a lot of difference between teenagers and kindergartners and how they respond.
That's right. Hey, the Hogs and Pigs report out yesterday. What was your main takeaway from that?
Well, you know, I don't think there were many big surprises in the report, but gosh, the uncertainty of what's ahead. You know, I mean, normally we can kind of predict demand a little bit better, but right now those demand questions remain pretty big, especially with waiting to see how COVID impacts our economy and how China comes out of that recovery themselves, and then also just, you know, how that's going to impact pork exports, because the hog industry is really depending on pork exports to pull us through.
Absolutely. You know, the spike that we saw in the domestic demand as people were filling up their freezers going into the shelter in place or the lockdown, whatever you want to call it, that was interesting. But boy, we're going to need that export demand. Fortunately, the exports are outstanding, aren't they?
They were. I mean, January was you know, maybe the second highest record export month ever. And so, I mean, they're very optimistic about it, but we recognize that we, you know, can't get too excited yet because COVID just leaves a lot of questions.
Yes, it does. It certainly does. Jennifer, thank you so much. Take care, and we will talk to you again next week. That is Jennifer Scheich. She is the editor of Farm Journal's Pork. Okay, when we come back, we're going to get this free-for-all rolling. We've got Iowa farmer Pam Johnson, pro farmers Jim Wiesmeyer, and real agriculture Sean Haney. Up next here on AgriTalk.
. 2019 marks 40 years of Syngenta and its legacy company's work in seed treatment research and innovation. Ross Weichel, head of Syngenta Seed Care in North America, says a commitment to a robust pipeline is key to success for their customers. Ross joins us now. Hello, Ross. Tell me a little bit about that commitment to developing new solutions.
We've become one of the best innovators in the industry because of the resources we invest to keep our R&D engine humming. On average, we spend over 10 years and nearly $280 million to develop novel seed treatment molecules. Our current new product lineup and pipeline are truly tremendous.
Thanks, Ross. We'll hear more from Ross next week, but for more stories from Syngenta, head over to www.syngentathrive.com.
Protect your investment and experience peace of mind with a PowerGuard Protection Plan from John Deere. Offering similar bumper-to-bumper coverage as your original factory warranty, PowerGuard has plans for both residential and commercial machines, from riding lawn equipment and utility tractors to combines and sprayers. With up to 7 years of total coverage available, PowerGuard extended warranties provide flexible monthly and hourly terms along with no or minimal deductibles. Ask your local John Deere dealer today about PowerGuard Protection Plans.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon. Fierce brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
Precision Planting knows you want your plants to have the most consistent emergence possible this season because delayed emergence means yield loss. In order to do that, you need to know the cause of erratic emergence. We understand this can be difficult, which is why Precision Planting has researched over 10 million individual plants across the country to determine the causes of erratic emergence. What Precision Planting learned was that in order to achieve consistent emergence, you need to clear residue, maintain depth, eliminate compaction, sense soil moisture, firm seed, and close the furrow with no evidence the planter was ever there. How do you get all these things right during the planting pass? That's what the Precision Planting Emergence System was designed for. Contact a Precision Planting dealer today to add the Precision Planting Emergence System to your planter or visit precisionplanting.com/emergence to learn more. Make 2020 a year that your fields have consistent emergence of every plant, leading to a high yield potential. Avoid the revenue loss and regret that comes with erratic emergence and instead be proud of your stands.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Precision Planting, provider of practical and effective precision ag technologies to help make farmers smarter every season. Learn more at precisionplanting.com.
Welcome back. Man, I don't know about you guys, but I need this. I need what we are about to do here. This is going to be a quick hour. I'm sure of that, but we've got a lot of ground that we need to cover. Let's bring in Jim Wiesmeyer first. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. It's good to talk with you, buddy. How are you?
Good to be here. I'm safe for now.
You bet. You bet. We are, what, a couple of hours away from seeing the vote?
Hopefully the beginning of the vote at noon Eastern time on the House floor.
Okay, so an hour predicted, away.
About an hour away, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, hopefully we'll get the grandstanding done and be able to get the vote on the rescue plan, get that passed and off to the president's desk. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic, Chip.
Good, good, good. It was fun being on the show with you yesterday.
Yeah, thanks for being a guest. It's always fun to reverse the chairs and have a good discussion about all things going on. Lots happening.
And I feel like we did have a really good discussion. There's no question about that. The one thing that we didn't talk about, and I'm going to ask you right now, if you'd look to the south, out the window to the south, do you see any troops accumulating on the border? What's the situation?
I'm looking at my window to the south. I'm only an hour north of the Montana-Canada border, Chip.
Yeah.
I don't see any flags. I think we're okay, but okay. We're getting our Canadian military together, you know, the three boats, and we may have a couple helicopters.
Well, if it wouldn't be all that steel coming into the U.S. from China via Canada, that's what's got Trump upset.
Jim, really? Right.
You knew that was coming.
We're going to fall. Course. We're going to fall for that narrative. That's what we're going with this morning.
Absolutely.
April Fool's Day is on Wednesday, Jim, not today.
I love it. Love it. Love it. And let's welcome back Iowa farmer Pam Johnson. It is so good to talk with you again, Pam. How are you? Everything okay up there?
Yes, and I too needed this today because it's like one piece of normal in the chaos for me. So yeah. I have not been on for a long time. February, I was traveling for meetings. And then in March, when I got home from meetings, my mom was in not good health. And so basically, I moved in with her at the nursing home to help take care of her. Thankfully, I'm a retired registered nurse. And so my brothers and I had a rough journey, but it was a good journey and an honorable one.
Yeah. Yeah. And our condolences to you and your family, Pam, on the loss of your mother. I'm sure that... you know, based on what I know from you, I'm sure that she was a wonderful woman.
Yes, she was. Thanks. Good. Thanks to everybody, because it really helped all of us get through it. It was unprecedented times, and we can talk about it later, but everything has changed in the local community.
Well, I was just going to ask you to kick things off, Pam, and talk about how things are different up there in Northeast Iowa right now.
Well... So everything's changed. You know, my mother's funeral and graveside services were the last that our funeral home could conduct. The churches are now closed. The schools are closed, of course, like a lot of people. Our local school yesterday delivered, 2,200 meals to kids for 3 days. And I think the biggest thing that's happening is monitoring what's going on with the healthcare system locally. We've been told the projections here, like we will have in the 14 county north central area, we will have 14,000 cases of COVID, and what that means to challenge not just supplies, but the healthcare workers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this rural health issue, Pam, has been something that we've been trying to keep up with and make sure that that rural hospitals in Iowa and across the country are their employees, the doctors, the healthcare providers are well protected. But boy, it is a major unknown as we get into the week ahead. I know that we've been talking about as the testing ramps up that we're going to see an increase in confirmed cases. But we're just going to see an increase in cases. I don't think there's any question about that as we move forward. And it's going to stress the rural health system out here, isn't it?
Yeah, thank goodness that plans have been made. And you can check into your own local community with your health care and public health about those plans that are being made. And thank goodness for the package that's going to be voted on today and passed, because it has money for rural hospitals. So thank you to our members of our senators and representatives from all the states to get this funding out, because it matters to a lot of different areas.
It does. It does. And Jim, it was one of those things where you kept thinking there's no way that we're going to play any politics with this package, but we ended up doing that.
Yeah, on both sides, actually.
Yes, on both sides.
The grandstanders. And in the case of the Commodity Credit Corporation Charter Act, Patrick Leahy, Democrat from Vermont, just flat out said he wanted to lower the boost in the borrowing authority because it was really geared to help out, Trump's friends in the Farm Belt. And that was about as low as you can get.
Yeah. Yeah, that does. We don't need any of that. We don't need that conversation to even take place. Jim, talk to me about the $9.5 billion that is in the package that is left to the discretion of the USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue.
Well, that will get, and it's a pulpary. It can be cattle, dairy, produce, et cetera. So that is good, Chip, because it gives the secretary flexibility. And I think they'll utilize that before the next version of the MFP program that won't be called MFP. So right. I think that was a good move on the part of the lawmakers from both parties to give more money, authorization for $9.5 billion to expand the rescue aid to more of agriculture.
Right.
Hey, Jim, who's on the strongest footing to get that money? Is it dairy? Is it beef? Specialty crops? Like, who is there a group that's in the lead here to get most of that $9.5 billion?
I wouldn't say dairy, because they've got other options for dairy that they can have a significant purchase program, because the school lunch program has been impacted. Cattle, they're looking at various options to target it, because you got to be careful with cattle, because as Chip will know, the cow-calf versus other aspects of the industry. So it's too early right now. The specialty crops need assistance, so that could be one of the areas and the produce, but I just think that it needs to be more expansive, and it'll also get them out of the conundrum of possibly problems with the WTO with our amber box and green box commitments.
And talking about cattle here and the relief that's coming for the cattle producers through that $9.5 billion of discretionary funding for the CCC, this market still appears to be busted to me. Now, the reason that I'm saying that is because we got a cash trade happening at like 120 this week, and it wasn't even a negotiated number, you guys. It was one of the weirdest things. And it's because that last week our packer margins went up over $500 a head, and as the beef market was going to the upside, the feedlot returns, the margins went negative into the 70-80 hundred dollar per head range. So we've got that happening in the cattle industry, and the question is, how in the heck can the cattle price go down when the beef price is going up? Now, the last 2 days we've seen the box beef market back off a little bit, but not nearly enough to cause the kind of price destruction that we've seen the last 2 days in these live cattle futures. Cattle traders will argue that what is happening is they are factoring in the idea that if somebody gets sick at one of those slaughterhouses, we're going to have to close down a slaughterhouse. So they're factoring in a worst case scenario. That's not going to happen. I don't believe that that is going to happen. And we've seen evidence that that is not going to happen, haven't we, guys? Because that the worker at the Sanderson Farms poultry facility got sick. They sent that person home. They sent the people home that were working most closely with that person. They disinfected the area, and they got that plant back to work. I've heard that Seaboard has had a couple of issues with some workers that have gotten sick. They've done the same thing. They're going to do the same thing at the cattle, at a cattle processing facility. I don't know why this futures market has decided that it's got to factor in a worst-case scenario. It's obviously I got frustrated with it last week on the drive home from vacation, and I haven't had anything relieve that frustration. Jim, is there going to be an investigation into this?
Oh, there should be an investigation in time. Yes, because now we'll have some more data. But this echoes what Davis said in his news wrap-up relative to all these early models that were scared people to death. About like what multiple millions of people in the U.S. Right. would die, and they were flagrantly wrong, because now we have actual data.
Yes, and we need to put the right perspective on what is happening. We're going to continue to do that. We've got a free-for-all going. Pam Johnson, Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, right here on AgriTalk.
When weeds get tough, AmVac answers with the power of Impact brand herbicides, proven to control key grasses and tough, glyphosate-resistant broadleaf weeds. Impact is the standard in corn safety. Impact brand herbicides, tough on weeds, not on corn. Get more information at AmVac.com/impact. AmVac, Impact, and Impact Z are trademarks owned by AmVac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Always read and follow label instructions. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beach, I'm going to go looking for plus signs first. And it takes me to the wheat market. We've got some strength going on there. What's happening?
Yeah, news this morning, Chip, that Rush is going to limit their, or Rush's ag ministry is recommending that the country limits exports through the end of the marketing year. Probably not a big deal, more of a headline type of thing, because the amount, 7 million tons, is about what was expected to be shipped during that time frame anyway. So like I said, more of a headliner than anything, but it got the market excited. We have backed off the highs, and I think that that's some of the realization that this probably isn't going to restrict in many ways.
Okay. All right. Let's go over to the grain market here. What's happening there?
In the
corn market.
No worries. Just struggling to find buyers. More of the same stuff there. You know, we've seen the pickup in export demand. China's come into the marketplace over the past week and bought U.S. corn. But we have the ethanol demand destruction stuff that's really hanging over the market now. So we've kind of just switched our focus on the demand concerns from exports to ethanol.
Right. I've already talked a little bit about what's going on in the livestock trade and cattle in particular, but what about hogs? Some heavy pressure there again.
Yeah, Hogs and Pigs report out yesterday afternoon showed that the U.S. hog herd on March 1 was 4% above a year ago. That was bigger than what was anticipated. Market hog inventory, this is what's coming to market this spring and summer, will be running about 4% above a year ago slaughter-wise based on the numbers yesterday. So more heavy slaughter numbers coming.
Thank you, Brian. That's Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
And then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
A social distancing tip.
While the CDC urges you to avoid close contact, like hugging or shaking hands, there are other non-physical ways to say hello. Wave, wink, use sign language, salute, smile, give the peace sign, throw up an air high five, do jazz hands. Remember, stay a minimum of 6 feet or 2 arms length away from others, and stay home if you can. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. I don't mind
coming here. Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today. I am your host, Chip Flory. We've got a free-for-all going. Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer, Iowa Farmer Pam Johnson, and Sean Haney from Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. Guys, it's a free-for-all on a Friday. That means that we're going to open it up. We've got Keith from Missouri on the line with us. Keith, welcome to AgriTalk. How you doing today, bud?
I'm doing all right.
Good. What's happening?
Well, I was just calling because we're from a small town area, and the grocery stores and the gas station are gouging us on prices, and they're claiming it's because of the extra trucking. I just think it's bull.
So they're not gouging you on gas prices, are they?
Yes, they are.
You're serious?
Yes. There's only two gas stations in town. And 20 miles away, they're the same two gas stations, and it's 20 cents a gallon cheaper than 20 miles away.
Unbelievable.
And then 17 miles south of that, it's 30 cents cheaper.
That is crazy.
Yep. And to the grocery stores, milk has went from $3 a gallon to $5 a gallon. A bag of lettuce, I was in there yesterday. 2 weeks ago, I gave 99 cents for it. It was $3.49 yesterday. And they're saying it's because of extra trucking.
Wow. Well, the extra trucking, that's something that I want to talk about, the role that truckers are playing in the in this effort to overcome and keep the economy moving. But we're going to save that for the end of the show, Keith. I really appreciate you making the call, though, and giving us a clue. Hey, go tell your local guys that are jacking up the gas prices that April unleaded gasoline futures are 54 cents a gallon.
Yeah, we have, and they say, well, corporate tells us what to do.
Yeah, yeah. All right,
but like
Keith.
I said, the same two gas stations is just 20 miles away. It's got 20 cents difference.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, buddy. That is Keith down in Missouri. Pam, are you seeing any of that happening?
I haven't been to the grocery store. The gas in my town is like $1.74.
Yeah.
And so I haven't seen any price gouging here. But back to the point about the projections and are they valid? So you can find out what the projections are for your own local area from your public health and from your hospital. So I think, you know, we got to ask ourselves, is everybody taking this seriously so that they take a personal responsibility for stopping this in their tracks?
Right.
And to the packing plants or other workers that we want to keep these businesses open, if we only had more tests, and there's only 62 tests available in my area, and if those people could be paid, they knew they would be paid if they called in sick, it would make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the packers have indicated, and I'm thinking Cargill in particular, has indicated that they will pay sick leave. And, you know, if one of the big four does it, I would think that the rest of them would, don't make that assumption. You can't imagine that one's going to fall in line with the others. So,
well, we're even seeing like Starbucks is doing that too, Chip. Like it's I saw the CEO on Fox Business say that, whether you're laid off or you don't feel safe to go to work and you want to stay at home and self isolate, you basically keep getting paid. So there's companies that are doing that.
Yeah, yeah. The rescue plan, we've talked about it for the U.S. Sean, what's happening in Canada?
Well, smaller dollar scale, of course, not a $2 trillion package.
Right.
I think the package that was passed this week was about $85 billion. Farmers are kind of struggling in terms of what is their ask. The government basically expanded the loan capabilities for Farm Credit Canada, which is a crown corporation, a major lender in the ag space. But it's similar discussions, right?
Mm-hmm.
From an economic perspective, we saw the Bank of Canada lower their key rate this morning, 50 basis points,
right?
Basically to 0.25%, which is, you know, it's just hard to believe if you think back 6 months ago where we were. There is talk of about recession and how are we going to get through this. The energy sector has been hammered, which is just hammering the Canadian economy. We've got Western Canadians Select at like $5. I heard somebody say this morning, a latte at Starbucks costs more than a barrel of oil on Western Canadian Select.
Oh,
so our economy is really in sort of tatters right now, I would say. And same similar kind of discussions is when, you know, are we flattening our curve? When will we be through this? And, you know, as Dr. Fauci said this week, we can't decide on the timeline. The virus is in kind of full control of that. So it's we just have to do what we can as citizens to follow the proper protocols. And there is still people out there not believing that they should be having to do those things, which is really unfortunate for the rest of us.
Yeah, Pam, when we talk about the projections from the local perspective, here in Iowa, aren't we – they're talking about the cases peaking when? We're weeks away from it.
Right. So the information I got from our area is that the virus will peak in Iowa April 30th to June 1.
Okay.
And one person in our area will infect 2.9 others. My medical source said, remind people that this is also transferred in all body fluids. People really have to be serious about this. I mean, on social media, people are saying, why are we still hearing and telling people to be serious about this? Because we can help stop this virus in its tracks if we just take care of ourselves and take care of others.
Right.
There's a great article this morning in the Wall Street Journal talking about, we keep on comparing the North American numbers and trying to get through this to China and South Korea. And maybe that's not necessarily fair because we have not taken the action. We have not taken the action that China and South Korea did. South Korea, it was over the top, something we probably never accept here, where they were tracking people by their cell phone and the government was sending them messages to say, you need to get home. You're not supposed to be outside, crazy stuff like that. So, it pushes us a little bit closer to more of what's going on in Europe. Of course, Boris Johnson, the leader of the Prime Minister of the UK, tested positive. So I think people need to sort of drop the political lens a little bit and just look at this from a scientific perspective and listen to health officials and not what is good or bad for Democrats or Republicans. That's my take.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Jim, I know since the rescue package has been considered, you've been trying to figure out exactly what the Small Business Administration loans, $350 billion for the SBA in there. Is that money available to agriculture?
It is available to agriculture. Murky on the energy sector. It's ethanol, et cetera, when you read the language. But depending on who you talk with, some people tell me on the House Ag Committee, by the way, it could be huge for farmers and ranchers, and especially those that employ significant labor. And we behoove in Pro Farmer this week, we tell producers to check with their banker, because a banker's going to know that program, Chip, an accountant and a banker.
Yep, absolutely. As long as we're talking energy, let's stay on this one and go to Valero. Pam, do you send any corn down to the Valero plant there in Charles City?
Yes, I do.
Have you made the phone call to find out what's going on?
I don't sell directly to them.
Okay.
Which for me is a saving grace. And, we should have a conversation about what force majeure means, because couldn't we all declare force majeure?
Sure.
On every contract we have?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Normally, it's a natural, and they are going to argue that COVID-19, I know that's what they are arguing, is that COVID-19 is a natural occurrence, but they're... But the force majeure is due to economic issues. It's not because they can't physically accept corn and turn it into ethanol there, Pam.
Well, I live on the state highway that goes to the plant, and the plant is closed on Thursdays and Fridays here. The number of trucks going by here are basically limited that I've just watched are livestock trailers, fuel trailers, medical supply vehicles, and the truck traffic is way down. The basis at the plant is 50 under.
What they did was they went free DP and 50 under at the same time. It just stinks. It stinks. It is a strange situation because when ethanol was getting up and running, people were saying, how are we going to know when ethanol is for real? When do we know that it's going to be here for the long haul? One of my arguments was we will know it as soon as big oil starts to invest in the process, because they're going to turn it into octane and they need the octane.
I think, Chip, we're all in this together now, right? We all need to be preserving the liquid fuel market through this tough time, this unprecedented time, instead of always fighting each other on this.
Right.
What if oil goes down to single digits?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It will have an impact on, I mean, that has a deadly impact on an economic, a very important economic sector here in the United States. No question about it. Okay, when we come back, we're going to wrap up this free-for-all. Pam Johnson, Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, and John from Kansas are going to be joining us next.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
A social distancing tip.
Keeping your distance from others is important in slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are some fun things to do alone. Read a book, take a walk, unpack your suitcase from that trip you took last September, paint a self-portrait, catch up on a TV series, do a puzzle. Remember, we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Planting season is fast approaching. Are you confident your depth is set correctly, or are you assuming your T-handle placement is correct? From seeing thousands of planters across the country, the folks at Precision Planting have found that even when depth setting is the same across the planter, actual planting depth can vary by up to 3/4 of an inch, leading to erratic emergence row by row. A simple block check can be done to avoid this issue. Visit planterexpert.com to find a Precision Planting dealer who can help you get smarter every season and avoid row-to-row variability.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon. Fierce brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
Today we're going to talk about key technologies to cut your production cost. For the spraying pest, let's consider the ExactApply nozzle control technology. With this technology, we've seen as much as a 5% decrease in inputs when utilizing the individual nozzle control capabilities and kerf compensation. If you think about a 12,000 acre producer in Western Canada that farms both wheat and canola, and if they're doing 3 applications a season with that sprayer, that could be as much as $15 an acre per each application. So 5% is about 75 cents an acre of savings. Multiply that over the 3 trips they're going to make across the 12,000 acres, that's a total savings of $27,000. So you may be used to running AutoTrac on your tractor or your sprayer, but have you thought about implementing that technology on your combine? Let's say you're a producer in the southern Great Plains that has wheat and double crop soybeans. If you can reduce overlap by as much as 5%, that could be $1, $1.10 an acre. You know, over those 6,000 acres that you're harvesting, that's $6,000 plus that's in your pocketbook by just implementing that AutoTrac technology. Consider a 12,000 acre small grains producer in Western Canada that farms 3,000 acres of canola. Being over their target seed rate by just 10% could be as much as $6 per acre of wasted seed. Over 3,000 acres, that's $18,000 of wasted seed costs that that producer could put back into his pocket by having a good calibration and hitting that target rate. ActiveCal is a technology on our newer air carts that allows for automatic adjustment for seed size and density to help producers hit very accurately their target rate. So technology can help us reduce our input costs at seeding, during application, and at harvest. And to learn more about that, go see your John Deere dealer. I'm Yancey Wright, and this has been John Deere Lead TV.
So we crashed the gate doing 98, I says, let them truckers roll 10-4.
I'm Andrew McCray, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, a farmer-focused podcast important to agriculture. It is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Visit pivotbio.com to find a representative near you.
Love it. Love it. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. I am your host, Chip Flory. We've got a free-for-all going. Pam Johnson, Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney. And Wiesmeyer, I tell you, it is amazing to me to see mainstream media doing stories on the trucking industry right now and how they're such a vital part of our economy. Really? It's like we never knew that before.
It takes great pain sometimes to get to reality, Chip.
Yes. Yes, it does. No question about that. But you know what? If at least they are recognizing the mainstream media and the others that never give it a thought to how toilet paper just sometimes magically appears on the shelves or paper towels or bacon. Yeah. Or whatever, at least they're looking further down the supply chain and understanding, gaining a better appreciation for what it takes to get food in place and products in place for them to use.
And the stockers at the grocery stores, et cetera.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the front line early on in this thing was the grocery store in a lot of ways.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Walmart is just, you talk about unsung hero, and they're trying to take as much safety valves, putting up the, you know, the plastic counters because of the cashiers, et cetera. Yeah. So they're doing a great job.
Yeah.
At my local grocery store, like, it is amazing. Like, I've never noticed the workers at a grocery store so much in my life. And shame on me, I guess. But, you know, the wiping down carts and cleaning. It's just, it is the work that they're trying to do to try and minimize any sort of possible spread or contamination and make, you know, shoppers feel, you know, safe is really, it's just two thumbs up.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, a lot of us took a lot of people for granted. When I'm out walking now down the road, I wave to every trucker that goes by and they'll honk or wave back. Yep. The unsung heroes, as Jim said, the unsung heroes in our hospitals and clinics and what they're going through now, we just need to remember to treat each other well and say thank you. We've forgotten that.
Yep. It's a good point. Good point. You know, it doesn't cost a lot of money to be nice to people. And in this situation that we're all in together, we maybe ought to think more along those lines. John in Kansas joins us right now. Welcome to AgriTalk, John.
Thanks, Chip. I was struck by your comments about Valero, and your points are spot on. And so maybe I need to cut them a little bit of slack. But reading this force majeure, I mean, does that mean I haven't signed the contract on the diesel fuel I locked in at a buck higher 2 months ago? Does that mean I get to write that off too? I mean, people need to stand up. And I think ethanol, you know, it's part energy, but it's octane, right? So to me, it seems like octane's going to rise in value, and we may not be done going down in crude just yet. I talked to my ethanol plant buyer this morning. They had a meeting yesterday. They're going to continue to run right now at a reduced rate, even though it's not very pretty. In fact, it's ugly right now.
Yeah.
But you know, there's two stories. One is Valero. The other one is Hebb. It's a grocery store down there in Houston.
And right now, meat, milk, eggs, those things are flying off the shelves 24/7. You know, they had to limit the hours that their stores are open because it just takes them so long to resupply.
Holy smokes.
You know, they're doing things like we put a couple packages of toilet paper out on, and then they disappear. Then we go back to the back, grab a couple more, just kind of reinforcing the idea that, you know, just take what you need,
right?
And we'll keep these supply things open. But if Valero is declaring this to make some kind of market play, that ain't going to fly very well.
Yeah.
You know, they need to keep supplying the feed to the feedlots, to the dairies, to the poultry producers, so that the truckers and everyone else can get it to the grocery stores so we can get it to the people. Like it or not, they're part of this chain, too, right there
us. So that's right, John. Good comments. Good comments, sir. Thank you for making the call, buddy. Yeah, you know, here we are with 350 corn futures and DDG prices making all-time highs. It's 240, 250 bucks a ton for DDGs. What's the availability up your way, Sean?
Growing concern. You know, after you came on Real Ag Radio yesterday, I made some phone calls talking to some feed yards up here that either buy DDGs out of the U.S. or from local wheat ethanol plants here in Western Canada. And the three feed yards I talked to either have been cut back to 50% of their contract or told there will be no deliveries this month. So this is an issue for the feeding sector.
Yes, absolutely it is. No question about that. At TomT6165, if oil goes to single digits for a significant amount of time, green energy will need life support. The corn market will be devastated, in my humble opinion. At Everly Skywatch, Chip visited with an acquaintance in the store this morning whose sister lives in Colorado. She had to pay $8 for a dozen eggs yesterday. Oh, goodness gracious.
Chip, yes, Pam. I have 10 chickens, and my family hates them. And I have become very popular in my neighborhood and at my church.
I love that, Pam. Good for you. Brown eggs? Is that what we're talking about here?
Yes, sir.
Organic.
I love that. Love that. Love that. Love that. Love that. I've got to send Pam off. Pam, be safe up there. We'll talk to you again real soon, okay?
Thanks a lot, guys.
You bet. Sean, same to you, man. Be safe. We'll talk to you again soon.
I got to get back to my border scouting here, Chip. I got to talk to you later.
Exactly. Jim, last word to you. What are you watching for next week?
I'm just watching for people to keep the faith and stay indoors.
Absolutely. We've got a lot of work to do to make sure that this thing stays, that we can find it as much as we possibly can. We've all got a job to do in making that happen. Jim, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later. All right, you guys, thanks for listening today. You got to come back this afternoon. I mean, you've got to. Dan Bossi, Ag Resource Company, is going to be my guest. And Monday morning, we're going to talk with John Doggett, CEO of NCGA.
Pivot BioProven is the first ever nitrogen-producing microbe that supplies nitrogen directly to the plant, helping maximize yield. Just ask Zach from Oklahoma.
The average was about a 5 to 6 bushel an acre benefit. Not only is that more money in my pocket, but it's less money I had to spend on fertilizer and wear and tear on my side dressing sprayer.
Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, whether or not.
At Brandt, we're once again breaking ground on groundbreaking technology. It's called EndsUp, and it's a revolutionary product featuring new enzyme that helps prime the soil for success at planting by boosting enzyme activity and creating a rich environment around the seed. This function helps plants emerge quickly and come out strong, which gives the crop its best chance to face what Mother Nature has in store and can increase yield up to 15%. So don't break ground this season without the groundbreaking technology of EndsUp enzymes by Brandt. Find EndsUp at Brandt.co.
Thanks to Syngenta for sponsoring this AgriTalk podcast. For more news on Syngenta and the trends driving the industry, head to syngentathrive.com.